This morning's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 4, and we're reading from verses 2 through to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Zoltan will now lead us in God's word.
I just noticed that there is this little table, so I may have to sit down or use it for something else. All will be revealed shortly. Let me start with a story about a man who was stranded on a desert island. And for years and years. Finally, a ship rescued him, and the captain went ashore to find this man on this island and figured out that there are three buildings built on this island. So they asked, so what's this? So the man said, well, the first one is my house. The second one is the church I go to. So what about the third one? Well, that's the church I used to go. The thing is, this somehow reminded me of Larry Poole, who was the former treasurer of Woodstock Baptist Church about 20 years ago or so. Some of you may remember him. And he was slightly different, though, because he kept coming to Woodstock, although he was living in Ensham for years. And eventually he said, well, there is a perfectly all right church in Ensham. So he finally accepted us as a home church. But joke aside, sometimes we let our personal frustrations and disappointments sort of get in the way and we move on. And I am not moving on from Ensham because I had enough. I am moving because God told me to move, and with heavy heart I do that. And sometimes, because we are so full of frustration, we cannot pray for others. We cannot bring them because, oh, I am so fed up, either with the opposition politicians or, you know, or people holding a different view of you. I just can't pray for that person. And let me tell you a story about Stephen, my colleague in ministerial training. And he told me once that when he started mission as a young man, there was a person in a church he really, it was so difficult to get on with. And there was no reason, it's just he was just very a man of few words, and you didn't know what to expect. And he was a young minister starting out, and he said, well, I didn't know what to do. So eventually he said, I started praying every day for him. And eventually he started asking him, what can I pray for? And he said, well, believe me, later on in, you know, a couple of months later, he was my best co-worker in ministry. Just because I started praying. There was no reason to dislike him. So, holding each other in prayer, what's the point? Why do we have to do that? How do we have to do it? Is it once in a Sunday morning, 10-minute prayer, like the intercessory one? Let's tick a box and it's done. We done our job now, prayed for others. Is it to make us feel better? Well, Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. I like this word, devote, because it implies commitment. It is something you continue doing, even when we don't see immediate results. Well, actually, the original word means towards becoming strong. It's a compound word, and it means towards becoming strong. So in my brain, that sort of translates into training. You know, if you strive to become strong, you have to train. So it is a little bit like going into the gym. And imagine January comes after Christmas, and you are in the boat where you are contemplating about having a gym membership. Maybe you already did. And by mid-January, you gave up on that. But what if you only go to the gym once a month? What results will that bring? Well, not a lot, I imagine. Training means just keeping at it, or following through, if you like. Just like physical exercise, prayer requires consistency. Not just when we feel like it, but actually becoming a habit. If we are persistent in prayer, we will grow spiritually, just as we would physically. Now, devote also has another meaning. And that is interesting, because it was used for objects. So this is for humans following through, or growing, if you like. But for objects, it was used in a different way. And it was used as to have something ready. So a rich man or a king may have their ship in the harbor ready. And this is the word they used. It was devoted to them. The ship is devoted. Or presidents have airplanes ready for them. Or we all have spare tires. Well, not everybody nowadays. Some don't even have spare tires in cars, but normally we would have spare tires in our car. And when do you normally check? How often do you check the tire pressure there? Oh, now I done it. Everybody's thinking about the spare tires and they won't be able to concentrate on this message. But the whole point is, if you only check your spare tire for pressure when the crisis hits, then you might be surprised that actually there is no pressure in it. And that's a little bit like, how sometimes we approach prayer. Prayer is always there when we need it. We can pray when there is a need. And then we come to God and say, oh, please help us with this and this and this and some other things as well. But actually, prayer is not like that. Persistent prayer actually doesn't even start there. Because if you read the next part, being watchful and thankful. Watchful means spiritually aware or alert. Means ready, like that ship ready for the departure. You are ready to step in with prayer. But also, it starts with thankfulness. That's where Paul says, persistent prayer is not about constantly asking God for more. But actually, it starts with thankfulness. And if we go back a couple of chapters, in chapter 1, Paul always starts his letters with prayers. And this one starts like this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. That's what he's saying. We always thank God when we pray for you. That's how we start. We start by recognizing what God has given us. How is our prayer? Is it starting or based on gratitude? Because if it's not, then we will never recognize how much and how richly God blessed us already. We often focus on what we lack rather than what we already got. Biblical prayer always starts with what God has already done for us. That is the starting point of prayer. Do we celebrate the blessings of others? I have to be honest, sometimes when I get the call for the Church of the Year, I don't know if you were mentioned that. Have you been aware of the Church of the Year? They have, this year, they made a beautiful video of it. And when I watched it, I said, whoa, God, how lucky they are. they are blessed and so on. And am I comparing what we have and what God gives to others? Or am I honestly can thank God for what he's doing this year in Jersey? I sometimes think that, you know, we don't do this quite often because deep down we have this craving of, oh, if God would bless me, rather than taking stock and starting with thanksgiving. And in a way, we all have jars. We all have jars in our homes. And one is a bigger jar, this one is a smaller jar. And this is the question, and I don't know if you can answer, but one of them, let's say this is the complaint jar, or this can be the complaint jar, and this one is the gratitude jar, or the other way around. But the question is really, if you would put in every time one penny, not more, but one penny in one of these jars when you complain or give thanks, which one will this be? You know, just think about it. When we think about prayer, think about gratitude. How quickly we would fill up either or these jars. Gratitude helps us shift from a self-centered prayer to a prayer focused on other people. Now, the question is, what is the point of prayer? Okay, this is fine. We get the gist of it now. We have to do this. But what is the outcome? What do we expect from prayer? Is it rain when we pray for rain? Is it wars to stop when we mention it to God? Well, clearly they haven't. So what do we expect? What does prayer do in our lives when we pray for others? What is the outcome? Well, first of all, the most important thing to understand is that it brings connection. When we pray for others, actually we connect. We go on behalf of others in the presence of God, and we connect with them in the presence of God. That is a serious business, if I may say. It means that we have to live intentionally. Paul says, if we read further, that pray that I may proclaim in clarity as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every single opportunity. Making the most of opportunities means that you are not going through life like a zombie, like a dreamwalker. You're actually intentionally present in the moment. Paul encourages us to live with purpose, not just existing, but making every moment count in our lives. Being intentional means reflecting before we act. Just think about it. And my younger son, Patrick, is a swimmer. My colleagues in the cluster, they all know about him. And because of that, I spent quite a lot of time poolside. About 12 and a half hours exactly every week. plus competitions. So you can imagine I am immune now to the smell of chlorine. But Patrick sometimes needs to go, I have to take him occasionally, to this specialist person who puts him in a pool where he swims and he's videoed. And then he rewatches the video and points out, well, this one, your hand is not like this, your head is not like this, your kick is not like that, and it goes on for 90 minutes. 10, 15 different points which he's not doing brilliantly. Now, that's all right. We often do that, reflect. We have a nice quiet day somewhere or a restful time in a retreat center. You know, we go and reflect. But the point is that once Patrick goes away, he then has to work on those problem issues. He has to deliberately focus on them. And every single training session, all the 12 and a half hours, then goes in to correcting all those 10 mistakes. And he sometimes worked more than 3 months to do that. And I really admire his commitment. He's not here, so I can say it. But the whole point is that sometimes we have to do that ourselves. It's not just maybe, you know, Andy says something on Sunday morning and we all go, ah, that's lovely. But actually, how are we applying it throughout the week? What are we doing intentionally about changing things in our lives? And that's exactly what Paul wants us to do here. So our daily choices and interactions are opportunities to share Christ, whether through words or actions. And again, if you think about it, well, what's the point of that? Because nobody would notice if I changed. Well, that's actually true. I have some other things in my bag. And you would say, well, today it's a really nice bright morning, and this doesn't make any difference. I can wave it, but it doesn't do much. And that's true. It will not make much difference if it's always in the light. But we are surrounded by darkness. And there are times when we are in darkness. And that's exactly when it makes sense. So the point is, if we do this intentional living, this connection with the world around us, we will be ready to switch this on. We will know that if there is battery in it or not. Because otherwise, if we are not ready, if this is not ready, then it will never light up. A little bit like the spare tire. So, connecting with others by living intentionally, and also how we treat others, how we treat our fellow Christians, our neighbors, it will change. Paul says, your words, your conversations be full of grace. I love this phrase, full of grace. I will come back to that, but it says, seasoned with salt. So how do you season your words with salt? Meaning, you should add value and preserve relationships. So salt is giving flavor and preserving. So that's what we are called to do. Add value to relationships and not destroy them. Build them up. At the same time, adding salt is, it's not bland, it's not boring. It's like, oh, it's nice to meet you. You know, that sort of thing. I can't really bother to talk to you. That attitude doesn't cut it for Paul. It also means to preserve others, like salt preserves them, builds them up, rather than tearing them down, because words have strong implications. We carry them sometimes for life. It is easier to speak with grace when you actually spend time to intercede for those people. Just like Steve, I mentioned earlier, if you pray for them, believe me, you will find it a lot more difficult to shout at them. You met them in front, in the presence of God. So when we genuinely pray for someone, our attitude towards them changes. It is not about winning an argument anymore, but actually nurturing a person. Because it says, season with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You are wise. How to not hurt people. How to be gracious. How to apply what we learned from Jesus in our conversations. Now, imagine you are standing in a canyon and you are shouting as loud as you can. And if the canyon is not the Grand Canyon, you may have a chance to actually hear back your voice, the echo. If it's Grand Canyon, you have to stay there for quite a while. But if you're standing there, normally what happens? What comes back? Any ideas? Have you ever tried this? Or in a cave, just shouting? What normally comes back? Your own voice. So if you shout with anger, anger will come back. If you shout with grace and joy, that will come back. And to be honest, churches are like caves, you know. We often reflect what is shouted at us. So, conclusion. What do we learn from these phrases? Praying for each other. Well, imagine two people caught up in a sudden downpour. And today, I know it's very, very difficult to understand because it's so sunny. But just think back 2 weeks, maybe, and then the rest of the winter. And I am sure you can understand what I mean here. So one of them has an umbrella, while the other one doesn't, and is getting drenched. But prayer, in a way, praying for each other, is a little bit like, I hope nobody's superstitious about opening umbrellas indoors. So the thing is, umbrella is extending. When somebody's down, is drenched, is being washed away by the problems of life, you're offering protection through prayer. It is like extending. And Paul uses this phraseology of if you are strong, then carry those who are weak. So this next couple of weeks, Lent season started. Lent is about reflection. Lent is about giving up something, or maybe even better, picking up some good habits. Maybe try praying for others regularly. Not just once Sunday morning, but carry them this season. Maybe somebody is on your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit points somebody out. Carry them in prayer. Maybe offer them umbrella. And maybe God will allow you a chance to share His grace with them. This is my Lent challenge for Woodstock. I won't be back to check, but I know somebody who is local, my friend Andy, and I often turn up on his doorstep, so he may. So let's just have a moment of quietness and pray. Gracious Lord, we stand in your presence. And we want to acknowledge that you know everything. You know what we feel, even when we are envious for each other. And your Spirit is able to correct us. So at this Lent season, may we all devote ourselves to prayer. So we will be light shining in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.